third chapter of the book of, or the first, third chapter of the book of Colossians. Says, if ye then be risen with Christ, that is, you can't be risen with Him unless you're dead with Him, unless you've died, unless you've been baptized into His death. Said He was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. So if you've died with Him, then you've risen with Him. And you're seated in the heavenlies with Him. In the book of Romans, in that 7th chapter, it says, in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, it says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, have we died in Him? Have we been killed? The old man dead? Well, if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, when He died, we died, if we be believers in the Lord Jesus, we died with Him and in Him on the tree, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That is, that sin would no longer reign in us. Sin is in us, but it doesn't reign in us like it used to reign in us. There's a difference between sin in us and living in sin. We don't live in sin, but we have a nature of sin which is still there. So, in light of this, he says, we should not, henceforth, should not serve sin. For he that is dead, who died in Christ, who was crucified with Christ, is freed from sin. So, if ye then be risen with Him, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections, set your mind on things above, spiritual things, heavenly things, not on things of the earth. Don't be taken up with the things of time. For you're dead. There you go again. You're dead. God regards us as dead because of our union, which is, I remind you, a vital union with Christ. God pictures us dying in the Lord Jesus, being crucified in the Lord Jesus. So if you're dead, then your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. So he gives some instructions here as to how we ought to act one toward another and unto all men. We're to love all men, especially them of the household of faith. Well, mortify therefore your members, control them, which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Remember, I told you there's always a past and there's a present. Paul said in times gone by, he said, I was a blasphemer. But now I'm not a blasphemer anymore. I've been regenerated and quickened, and I've come to believe that he whose name I blasphemed is the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. And here it says, in which ye also walk sometimes. That's what we used to be. We walked like this, and all of us had something to do with this uncleanness and fornication and inordinate affections and covetousness and this idolatry. We worshiped something. Mostly ourself. Well, he goes on and says, but now, ye also, ye that have been risen with Christ, whose life is hid in God, but now, ye also put off all these things, this anger and wrath and malice, and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. You've got an evil nature. Sin's in you. There's no such thing as sinless perfection. People, well, there's millions of people alive on earth at this given time, as I speak right now, that believes that when God saved them, He took away everything and there's no sin in them. No sin no more. They live perfectly, they believe, absolutely holy before God. No, there's sin in us. We have a sinful nature. And the devil is so cunning and so on top of things that sometimes he'll overcome us and we'll fall into things like this anger and wrath. Malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Well, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. Now, whether there's Greeks or Jews, God is effectually calling people, even in our day, into a state of regeneration. He's quickening those who are dead in trespasses and in sins, and bringing to bear on their own souls and hearts their awful wickedness and their condition. But he's doing this now, effectually calling people into a state of regeneration with no regard to their distinction. as to whether they be Jew or Gentile, whether they be black or whether they be white. He's effectually calling into regeneration. Apart from distinction of nations or color or creed, his people. So it matters not what nation a man's in. His color or his religion has no influence whatsoever on a new birth. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. That is that Christ is the first cause of all things. He's the author of the old creation, and he's the author of the new creation. He is all and in all. He's the believer's light. He's the believer's life. He's the believer's wisdom. He's the believer's righteousness. He's the believer's sanctification. He's their food. He's their clothing. He's their strength. He gives them comfort here and also glory in the world to come. And they esteem him over and above all other creatures and all other things, because he is all and in all to them. Now, these three words, Christ is all, these three words are the foundation or the essence and the substance of Christianity. Christ is all. There's nothing else worth talking about. I don't care about the great minds that gather at various times to talk about the universe or talk about the heavens and split the atoms and talk about this power. In light of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of that is just foolish speaking. Doesn't mean it. Doesn't change. Christ is all. That's what it means. A right knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is essential to a right knowledge of sanctification and a right knowledge of justification. To find out who this man is, God declares that he is all and in all. Regardless of what I think or anyone else thinks, this is the solemn declaration from the God of heaven. This is what he has said. Said he's all and in all. The man that follows after holiness. You hear that expression used a good bit in our day. That we are followers after holiness. Well, the man that follows after holiness will make no progress whatsoever until he gives the Lord Jesus Christ his rightful place. His rightful place is Christ is all and in all. Now, Christ is all in the counsels of God concerning man. Now, there was a time when the earth had no being. It was without form and void. It is not that we could see. It had no existence. It's hard for us to comprehend, to realize that there was a time when there was no dirt and rocks and trees and water, and sun or moon or stars. There was that time. We have that upon the authority of God Himself. Was a time when this earth had no being, as solid as the mountains here in West Virginia appear to be, and as boundless as the oceans appear, and high as the stars appear in heaven. They once did not exist. And man, with all his high thoughts about himself, was an unknown creature. Where was the Lord Jesus Christ then? God said, Christ is all and in all. Now, before there was anything, no earth, no seas, no sun, no moon, no stars, no mountains, no rivers, not even you and I. Where was the Lord Jesus Christ then? Christ was all even then. Listen, it says in that 17th chapter of the book of John. Well, let me turn to the first chapter of the book of John. I said 17th chapter. I'll get back here in a minute. First chapter of the book of John. Listen to what it says. In the beginning was the Word. That's the Lord Jesus. Before anything existed, before creation, in the beginning was the Word, the Lord Jesus. And the Word was with God. That's the Lord Jesus. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Where was the Lord Jesus? All things were made by Him. By who? By the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Where was He at? Even then, Christ was with God, and He was God. Even then, He was the Beloved of the Father. Now turn with me to the 17th chapter of the book of John if you want to. If you don't, just hang in there a minute. John chapter 17. And verse 5. It says, And now, Father, this is in this high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus. He says, I've glorified Thee on earth. That means He's done the will of God on earth. Remember I told you here the other day, the will of God was never done by a man upon this earth until the God-man came, and He done the will of God. And in doing the will of God, He glorified God. And in the process of glorifying God, He wrought salvation to poor sinners like you and I. I have glorified Thee on earth. I've magnified the law. I've kept the law. I bore the curse of the law. I've established righteousness. I've been perfectly obedient. And I suffered the debt that my people owed. I've glorified thee. It's the main object of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not to save sinners, but it's to glorify God. It's to undo what the first Adam did. That's the objective and the desire and the delight of the Lord Jesus Christ is to do the will of God. And he said, I've done that. I've glorified thee here on earth. I finished the work which thou hast given me to do. There's nothing left to do. I've done all that needs to be done. There's nothing left to do. I've finished it. Now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Now listen to this. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Where was he? Before the world was, he was with the Father, and he was glorified with the Father. And that's what he's saying here. In verse 23 of this same chapter, it says this. It says, verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Our oneness with the Lord Jesus. I in them. I'm in them. And thou art in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Thou didst love me from the foundation of the world. I had glory with thee before the world began. Even then, he was the Savior, because the Bible says that he was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And it says that those who eventually would believe his gospel, he said, were chosen in me before the foundation. Even in the counsels of God, Christ is all and in all. He, the Christ, here in the Scriptures, is held up, and I read one verse to you that has something to do with it. He, the Christ, was held up as the true light of the world. He is the light of the world before there was a world. He was the light before there was any light. But There come a time when sin entered into this world. Sin entered through the disobedience of our first father Adam and our mother Eve. Sin entered this world, and when they ate that forbidden fruit, they lost that holy nature that they had. And they forfeited the friendship and the favor of God and become guilty and corrupt and helpless and hopeless sinners before God, this human race. Sin then become a barrier between them and God. And had God, dealt with you and I in Him, had God dealt with Adam and Eve according to what they deserved, there would be nothing before them but death and hell and everlasting ruin. But where was the Lord Jesus Christ then? That's what I want to know. in the very day, not a week after, not a month after, not next year, but in the very day He was revealed to the trembling hearts of our first parents, Adam and Eve, as the only hope of salvation. The very day that they abandoned God and His goodness and His mercy and turned themselves over to Lucifer, the devil. That very day, God revealed to them that the Lord Jesus Christ would be their only hope of salvation. And that this man who was be the seed of the woman would win for sinful man an entrance into God's heaven and God's paradise. Even then, He, the Christ, was held up unto them to be the light of the world in the very day. Never had any name been made known from that day by which a soul might be saved except His name. From that time until this time, no other name has been mentioned that could save a man. Could save a sinner like me, except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by Him all saved souls have entered into heaven from Adam to this present time. And without Him, absolutely none has ever escaped. Without Him, nobody has ever escaped Him. There's not a man that's woman or boy or girl that's ever died and somehow signaled to the living. We're all right. Don't worry about us. No, they're in hell. Without God's Christ, who is all and in all, they're in hell. There came a time when the world seemed sunk and buried in the ignorance of God. After about 4,000 years, the nations of the earth had seemingly clean forgotten the God that made them. The Egyptians, the Assyrians, and the Grecians, and the Roman Empire had done nothing whatsoever but spread ignorance and superstition and idolatry. Well, the poets, the historians, and the philosophers, with all of their so-called brain power, all of these had no right knowledge of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe, that by wisdom, the world by wisdom knew not God. Wisdom won't cut it. The whole world become dead in ignorance. Dead in trespasses, dead in sin. And what did Christ do then? Where was He at? Well, you know and I know that He left the glory which He had from all eternity with the Father. And He came down here upon this earth to provide a salvation for His people. He took our nature upon Him. He was born a man. And as a man, He did the will of God absolutely perfect. While which we had left undone, our Lord Jesus Christ did perfectly. Took our nature upon Him and was born as a man, and as a man He did the will of God perfectly. As a man He lived for us. As a man He suffered for us. As a man He brought in a everlasting righteousness. And as a man He redeemed us from the curse of the broken law. He died for our sins as a man. He rose again for our justification as a man. Listen, the time will come. There will be a time. We may not live to see it, and we may live to see it. But there'll come a time when sin shall be cast from this world. There'll come a time when evil and wickedness will not abound. There'll come a time when there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, the Bible says. Where shall Christ be then? He'll be then what He is now. He'll be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He shall return to this earth. And the Bible says He shall make all things new. He'll reverse the order. The world is filled with unrighteousness, God-hating people. But when He comes, He shall come in the clouds in heaven with power and great glory, and the kingdoms of this world shall be His, lock, stock, and barrel. And to Him, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He is who God said He was, Lord of lords, King of kings. Christ is all and in all. Every knee will bow, and every tongue shall say, that's ah, there is a day coming when all shall be judged. The sea will give up her dead, and death and hell will deliver up the dead that are in them. And all that sleep in the grave shall awake and be judged. Where will He be then? He Himself then shall be the judge. He will sit on the judgment seat, and He'll say to those on the right, blessed are ye, enter in to the kingdom prepared for you, foundation of the world. Enter in to the joy and the rest. But on those on His left, He'll turn them in to that awful place, that lake of fire. Now what I want to know in closing is this. Is there anybody here under the sound of my voice that thinks little of Him of whom I've been speaking, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'll tell you, if you think little of Him, you are very unlike God. Because God thinks a whole lot of Him. God says, this is my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased with Him. And if I'm ever going to be pleasing to God, I'll have to somehow get in His Son. Well, listen. There's some here, I'm sure, that think little of the Lord Jesus. You are of one mind, but God is of another. You think it enough to give Christ a little honor, a little reverence, a little respect. You'll give Him a dollar or two now and then, and you'll attend the place where the Word of God is being preached once in a while. But in the eternal counsels of God the Father, in creation and in redemption and in judgment and even in restitution, in all these, Christ is all and in all. And He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. So I advise you here this morning, if you think you better reverse your position and learn Him. You need to come unto Him. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You that are laboring to find favor with God. Lay aside your doing and come to Me with all of your sins. He loves sinners. You can't seem to say that enough. God loves sinners. He didn't come to save righteous people. He came to save sinners so hopeless that they couldn't save themselves. And when the man gets to that place that he can't save himself, then he's a fit candidate for God's salvation. Salvation is all of grace. Where is He now? He's on the throne. And He's clothed with authority. And God's given Him power over all flesh. He has power over everything that moves, everything that wiggles, every leaf on the tree that shakes in the wind. He has power. God's given Him that power. God's given Him the glory which He had with the Father before He came. He ruled. There's no getting around it. Let's stand obedient.